A survival guide for us during the 70th week, because I believe the church will enter into the 70th week and confront the events of it and will face the beginning of sorrows and face the great tribulation and be raptured out of here before the day of the Lord's wrath. And I believe that so many Christians are going to have a Pearl Harbor and a 9/11 because preachers aren't teaching them properly. It's going to attack their faith. So I am so glad to do that. I'm glad to have Isaac here. I know his pastor, Stephen Anderson, believes like I do in a post-trib pre-wrath rapture. And he's an independent fundamental Baptist pastor. So that's encouraging to see folks that are doing that, yet soul winning and King James Bible churches. Praise the Lord for that. I remember about a year ago, I had a burden to teach that book of Revelation in our Sunday school, all levels. And I've been so helped by this man right here, because I write the adult lesson. He breaks it down for the kids. And he's very gifted to do that. And we have a great working together in that. And we've been able to teach the Revelation at all levels all year. And we hope to finish sometime soon. We have a few more classes and just about a year in the Revelation. He said something to me today. He called me up. He said, "Hey, if we finish Revelation, why don't we go into Psalm 83 and go into Jeremiah 49 and go into Ezekiel 38 and 39? And I said, "Brother Z, that sounds good." I said, "But, you know, right tonight, I've got to preach on that right now." And why am I preaching on that right now? Because I believe right now it may be fulfilled. Right. You know, Jesus, when he was in the synagogue in Nazareth, I was there in 2016. He was in the synagogue there in Nazareth. I was right there where he was. I can visualize it. He was there in the synagogue, and he was reading from the prophet, and he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." That must have been something. And how did they respond to that message? Well, they tried to kill him. But he escaped, you know. And I want to say to you, as of October the 8th at 1:55 a.m., this prophecy that I've been preaching on may be fulfilled in your ears. And, you know, I like to listen to Alex Jones and Roseanne Barr and all these people, you know, because they talk about globalism and all this stuff going on. But not all these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Word of God. Tonight, I'm going to take you to the Word of God. Because, you know, there's a war between God and Satan. It's a 3D game of chess. Satan is an amazing chess player, but God always outsmarts him. And you know, a number of years ago, I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, you've given me such, I believe, insight on the revelation and prophecy, and it's just you that's done it. If I have a gift, it's not original thinking. It's to recognize genius and to use it." I'm talking about teachers that have been used in my life to help me. And when it comes to prophecy, you know, I remember Benson, he's a pre-tribulationist, but God used Benson in seminary. God used Gundry in his book. God used Marv Rosenthal in a great way. Bob Van Kampen. I disagree with these men on many things, but man, they helped me in prophecy. I'm not afraid to benefit from people like that. And another man that I want to give credit to tonight for Psalm 83, Ezekiel 38, 39, is a genius. I don't know where he is right now, but he knows about us. He's been on our website. He's a best-selling author. He's been on our website. He's commented on things I've said. His name is Bill Salas. Bill Salas out of California. And God helped me to see that. And I prayed. I said, "Lord, I know about the 70th week of Daniel. I know about the future. But what about now, between now and then? Is there prophecy I need to know about?" And God used Bill Salas. He's a pre-tribber too. But he has these prophecies. He calls them now prophecies. And then Ezekiel 38 and 39 is what he calls a next prophecy. So we have now prophecies that are imminent. By the way, the rapture is not a now prophecy. It's a next prophecy. Fooey on those that say it's a now prophecy. I'll just prove it wrong in one simple statement. Peter was told by Jesus that before the rapture, you're going to die. And Peter lived out his life in ministry knowing that was the case. So don't tell me the rapture was an imminent event. That's just one little proof I've got on it. But anyway, let's get back to the issue tonight. And that is the name of my message tonight. And the name of my message is, what does the attack from Gaza mean to you? What does the attack from Gaza mean to you? I'm talking about you as a teenager. I'm talking about you as a kid in our school. I'm talking about you as an adult who are here in America and you have all these things that you want to do and you want to go to Walmart and buy your food or whatever. What does this mean to you? And I want you to please turn to Psalm 83 with me, and we're going to take the parchment and roll it out onto the pavement of your life tonight. The parchment of prophecy and roll it out on the pavement of your life. Do you know what that means? Ever since I got saved, I've been aware of Bible prophecy. I got saved and in a year of tremendous prophetic fulfillment. You say, well, when? What year was that? 1967. That was the Six-Day War in Israel. 1967, that was when Israel recaptured the old city of Jerusalem and what allegedly is the Temple Mount. 1967, when they were going to rebuild the temple and it was stopped. And I would like to say to you that I've been watching ever since for something significant to happen. And tonight, I want to tell you that this attack from Gaza means something to you. It means that God calls out the motives of people in the Middle East that are in this prophecy. Turn to Psalm 83, and let me just say to you that I hear people talking about what's going on in the Middle East. I heard Roseanne Barr, my youngest son, asked me to listen to Roseanne Barr, and she said some good things, but she also said some things that didn't square with this. I listened to Alex Jones, and he says some good things, a lot of good things, but he has some things that don't square with this. So you're not here to hear Alex Jones tonight. You're not here to hear Roseanne Barr. You're here to hear Pastor Randy Bloom rolling out from the parchment of prophecy onto the pavement of fulfillment the prophetic word of God. And so tonight we're in Psalm 83, and I want you to know that Asaph is the writer of this. Asaph was a singer. He was a lead musician, but he also had the gift of prophecy, which means he could receive special revelation directly from God and give it, and it's written in 12 psalms. And this psalm is a prophetic psalm. It was written about 3,000 years ago, and I'm not going to say for sure, but very possibly it is going to be fulfilled and is being fulfilled as I'm speaking in 2023. I don't know how long I've been preaching on it. Anybody have an estimate, Bob? I don't know how long.
10 years.
10 years about? All right. About a decade I've been preaching this. And right now, how many of you have been following this prophecy? All right. You've been here and you've been following it. So that's good to know. You say, well, how do you know that Asaph was a prophet? Well, a seer, S-E-E-R, is an ancient word used in our King James Bible for a prophet. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 22, he is called a seer or a prophet. Now, I want to say to you that this attack that you heard about in Gaza, 1:55 Eastern Time, a.m., October the 8th, is, I believe, God's prophecy here rolling out onto the pavement. And you're living during that time. And I want to say to you that means, number one, that God calls out the motive of these people that invaded. I don't know what Alex Jones might say or Roseanne Barr or somebody else, but I know what God says about the motive of the people in the Middle East. And I'm interested in what God said. Are you? All right, we're going to find it out in verses 1 through 5 and verse 12 of Psalm number 83. He calls out the motive. So let me read verse 4. You follow in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible. It says, "They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." So let me ask one of the men, what is the motive of these people from Gaza that invaded Israel October the 8th, cut off the heads of babies, raped women, raped and desecrated their dead bodies after they murdered them? What are the motives of these animals that would do such a horrible act of violence and mayhem?
To destroy them.
Yeah, to destroy them. Yes, sir.
Well, I believe the conflict goes back to Ishmael and Isaac.
That's right. That's exactly right. It goes back to Ishmael and Isaac, and it goes back to Esau and Jacob. And these people are descendants of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael and Esau. But bottom line, you just read it in verse 4. What's the motive? Nail it.
To make Israel's name be forgotten.
Yes. They want to wipe them off of the map of the Middle East. They don't even want them to be in the history books. By the way, don't send your kids to public school, government school. You are not smart. Because the goal of government school today, as it stands today in the United States of America, is to wipe the name of God out of their minds and put the crap in there that they're putting in there, and I'm calling it appropriately. These people educate their kids from the time they're little kids to hate Israel. They show them maps of the Middle East, and they show Israel not there. Ever since they become a nation, in 1948, May 14, 1948, when the first prime minister of Israel declared Israel a nation among nations, his name was David Ben-Gurion. Ever since he did that, they have said, it's like swallowing a chicken bone that's stuck in your neck. How many have ever swallowed a bone? It's not pleasant. I've done it. And you put bread in there, try to get it down. I remember eating with her uncle when we were first married, the Castle restaurant over here. And I swallowed a bone, and I was embarrassed that I swallowed a bone, and I was choking to death. Because I was her new husband, this was her uncle, he was a cool guy. I didn't want him to know I was dying. So I just played cool. As I'm not able to breathe, and the chicken bone is stuck in there. And I think, did I tell you? I might have told you. I usually tell her, I'm dying. And she said, swallow bread. And I just, it got it. I lived. But ever since Israel got into the Middle East, these descendants of Ishmael, you're right, and of Esau, they have had an inveterate hatred and wanted them out of there. Because why? They're chosen of God. And this is a satanic jealousy. Alex Jones may not understand that. I don't think he does fully. Roseanne Barr doesn't understand that. I do, because God said it. And so here you have this, even though Roseanne Barr is a Jew herself, you have this here, and if you look at this, you have to understand, I was born in 1950. This happened in 1948. But I do remember I got saved when I was 17. In 1967, Israel declared war on these same people that are in Psalm 83. that were fighting them in 1948. They declared war on them because they were trying to drive Israel out. They tried to drive them out in 1948. As soon as Israel became a nation, they attacked them and they thought they were going to drive them out right away. They didn't do it. And then they attacked them in 1967. They didn't attack them. Israel preempted it and got them and nailed their airplanes. And guess what? In 1973, once again, all of these countries that are in Psalm 83, they tried to attack Israel. And what day did they choose? Yom Kippur, the most holy day when they were not ready. And it was a sneak attack, and they attacked them. You say, why did Israel's intelligence fail this time? That's not important. I don't care. The bottom line is, they want to drive them into the sea. And so, in 1973, Israel was in a state of war. They have not been in a state of war until when? They've had all kinds of skirmishes and police actions, but 1973 was the last time they were officially and formally declared war on any of these people. Does anybody know the time after 73 when they declared war? One of the men. I have to have the men help me preach. You can't have ladies. Yep. Huh? Three-day war. No.
There's been various skirmishes since 73, I believe in 2007 and then 2009.
Nope. Now, 50 years later, no war declared for 50 years. Think of the word 50. Jubilee, freedom, something big may be happening. Right, Brother Bob? This may be it, Bobby. This may be it. I don't want to ring a false alarm, but I'm just saying it may be it. It looks, if it quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, looks like a duck, quack. So I'm just saying that think about it. Think of this time that you're in. It's 2023. Very significant. It means that God is calling out the motive of these people. Once again, why are the people from Gaza invading? They are invading. Listen, you kids may be interested in video games, although I see the kids are really listening. You kids may be interested in TikTok. You kids may be interested, but I see you. You're taking notes. You're listening. I appreciate that because a lot of kids, they're not interested in what's going on. They don't know what's going on. When I was a teenager, man, I woke up. And I've been awake ever since. You know, I'm woke in a good way. I'm awake. I'm the real woke, amen? And I believe our teenagers are too. We're living together in exciting times. I'm talking about prophecy coming off the parchment and coming down onto the pavement tonight. And I want to say this, that this war started in Gaza, and they attacked southern Israel, killed babies, decapitated them, and did terrible things. And you know what's in Gaza? The Philistines. Remember Samson was in Gaza, and Samson fought the Philistines, but he always was going out with Philistine girls. This is not a time to date unsaved people. Amen. This is not a time to link up with the world, friend. This is a time to stay with God's people. Hey, if any of you are fornicating with somebody and you think you're getting away with it, you're not getting away with it. God knows what you're doing.
Right.
And he'll deal with it. And I don't know what's been going on in Israel, but I'm sure God's chosen people, they aren't living right. I know they took 5 jabs. That wasn't right. I know some of you took jabs. That wasn't right. I warned you. Wise up. Wise up tonight. Because God is calling out the motives of the enemies of God's people. Satan doesn't love you. The world doesn't love you. And so tonight, I'm saying that what's going on in the Middle East, it is a desire to remove Israel from the map of the Middle East. And number two, it's a desire that, listen to me, it's a desire that, I've got to say it, it's a desire that demands a divine response. Look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 83. Just look at it right there. We looked at verse 4. Look at 1 and 2. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. Doesn't that sound like what's going on now by these enemies? It demands a response. I heard Megyn Kelly saying to Ben Shapiro, as I listened to that, it was a very good exchange. And Ben Shapiro was talking right. But Megyn Kelly was talking to Ben Shapiro. I listened to that, but she also talked to a big guy in the army. And she was saying, why do they have to invade Gaza? And he said, because it demands it. Look what they did. Look what they've been doing. The head of Israel must do this. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He's looking ahead 3,000 years, I believe, to our time. He's saying what happened just a few days ago. It demands the mobilization. It demands the declaration of war for the first time in 50 years. I don't care what Roseanne Barr says. I don't care what anybody else says. God says it demands it. And I'm going to preach God's word. This requires Netanyahu to fight. Now listen, I'm not saying go in there and blow up every civilian. Thank God Israel doesn't do that. These people do that. They're animals. The way they're satanic. This is Satan. But I'm saying they need to go in there and defeat their enemy. You want peace, you've got to go to war. I've had wars in this church, and I've always come up and fought it head on. And I have to win the war before we have peace. Every time. And I will fight. Amen. I will fight. You are looking at a man that will fight when we need to fight by the grace of God. And thank God Donald Trump was a man that would fight. And he kept us out of fights. But I'll save that for a little bit. I'll save that. But it says here that hold not thy peace and be not still, O God, for lo, what? Thine enemies, God's enemies, make a tumult. And they that, and you say, well, Israel's got their problems. They may be, but if God chose them, you better lay your hand off the apple of God's eye. You better not mess with God's anointed. You got a brain in your head. And so I'm saying it is a desire to move Israel from the map of the Middle East. It's a desire that demands a divine response. And listen to me, number three, under the whole idea of God calls out their motive, it's a desire that's full of craft and craftiness and trickery. Look at verses 3 and 5 of Psalm 83. Verse 3 says, they have taken what? Crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one conceit. They are confederate against who, beloved? God Almighty. So I don't care if Alex Jones sees it or not, I see it. I don't care if Joe Biden sees it or his boss Obama sees it or his boss Soros sees it. I don't care. God sees it. And he says that these people have taken crafty counsel. And it is crafty. You know, you ever seen Wile E. Coyote? How many seen Wile E. Coyote? Who's the guy that Wile E. chases? It's a Is it, who does he chase? Help me out here, Bobby.
The Roadrunner.
The other Bobby, who does he chase?
The Roadrunner.
All right, he chases the Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote. You following me? Now, let me ask you a question, and I'm going to ask the first Bobby now. Does he ever catch him, Bobby? He doesn't catch him. He never gets. It's the same thing with Trump. They always are getting him. Every time you look on the mainstream media, I get on my computer, Microsoft, Bill Gates, news, he's always saying, we got Trump, man, we got him, 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 we got him. I'm telling you, every time I get on, they never get him. They never get him. He's the Roadrunner. I kind of feel like the Roadrunner here, you know, like the devil's been trying to get me. I'm just saying, you don't protect Israel. Certainly, O'Biden doesn't protect Israel. It's God Almighty that protects Israel. And you ain't going to get Israel, Satan. I declare it and decree it tonight in Jesus' name. You don't get Israel. They're God's people. And they're not always perfect. They crucified the Lord. They paid for it. His blood be upon us and our people. They're God's people. He chases them horribly. But they're God's people. And God's regathered them back to the land. And God's prophesied that they'll try to knock them out. But he's saying they've confederated together. Now let me just give you a real quick little bit of craft. 3D chess, okay? Some of these guys on Alex Jones, they just love Iran. They don't want to touch Iran. God says there's problems with Iran. Now listen. Listen to me. Iran wants a caliphate, and it's a Shiite Muslim caliphate, not a Sunni. They want a Shiite Muslim caliphate. And I had my brother-in-law share this with me years ago. He's a Sunni Muslim. He's now a Christian, he says, but he was a Sunni Muslim. But he knows all this. And they have a Shiite desire for a caliphate from Iran in a crescent all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. So from the Euphrates River area, Persian Gulf, east of the Persian Gulf, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And they want Israel out too. And here's what they're doing. You see, Trump got the Abraham Accords going. And what Trump did was he got the Sunni Muslims to make peace with Israel through the Abraham Accords. And they got wealth and prosperity. And you're talking about countries over there that were oil rich, and they worked with Israel. And Iran's been looking at this, and they are chess players. They are crafty people. They're tricky people. And I've seen tricky people. Unfortunately, I've seen them in the church trying to push their agendas and God's people. But these people trying to, they're crafty people. And here's what they're doing. They're trying to put Netanyahu between a rock and a hard place. Because you see, if he attacks Gaza, and he will, he has to attack Gaza. He has to. But if he does it, all hell is going to break loose in the Sunni peace things that he's been doing. And he's going to lose all his prosperity. And guess who's going to win? Iran thinks they're going to win. And they're, you see, Iran controls Hamas. Right. They're just proxies. Just like I call Biden O'Biden because Obama controls him. See, I'm crafty. I see through things. God given me that. And I'm just saying that Iran is crafty, and they control Hamas, and they're using Hamas to try to break up this alliance between Israel and the Sunni Arabs. And they're also, they got Hezbollah in the north waiting to do it too. And Iran wants to take over everything. When I say Iran, I don't mean the Christians in Iran. There are Christians that are getting saved in Iran, and they believe like I do, and they want God to deliver them from that wicked regime. But that's another time. But anyway, so we're talking about it's full of craft. It is a crafty desire that is going on here, and Iran wants to stop this. And by the way, this led the globalists who are working with Iran, and China's working with Iran, and maybe Russia too, but certainly China and the globalists. You know, the globalists helped to steal the election from Trump. You know why they don't like Trump? He cut off Iran. And they want to use Iran to get their designs for world control. That's a whole other thing. But Trump cut off Iran's money. Remember that? He cut off their nuclear plan. He cut off funding the people in Gaza. He cut them off. When Biden got in there under the globalist, what did they do? They pulled out of Afghanistan, remember all the equipment we left in Afghanistan? Do you know that that equipment went to Gaza and is used against us, against the Jews? How stupid can you get? It's not just stupid. They have a plan. And not only that, but Trump, you know, he cut off that money 19 days ago, before October 8th, 19 days ago, O'Biden sent $6 billion to Iran. And they said, oh, that money's not used directly to help the guy. Money is fungible. That means whenever you give somebody money, they got it and they can use other money. Once they got the money, they got the money. 19 days after they get the $6 billion, what do they do? They invaded Israel. Gaza invaded. That $6 billion helped. Trump had cut that off. I'm going to stop here and just say something. Some of you ride the bus and you go to Walmart and you get your money, and all you care about is going to Walmart and getting your money, and you voted for Biden. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. This blood that's going on is on your hands because you didn't listen up. And you voted for a wicked enemy of God's people. You did it. You know you did it. I warned you not to do it. And you sit up there and ride the bus and go to Walmart and you're all happy. No. You have baby's blood on your hand and you have blood on your hand. And I've had guys in this church years ago, they voted for Obama. I said the same thing to them and they came and admitted later, Pastor, you were right. So get it right. I love you. I'm going to tell you like it is. And I want to just say that what does it mean? What does it mean to you? I'm saying to you, these are things that are happening. And you say, well, why did this happen? Why did all this happen? Why did God allow Biden to steal the election? Why did God allow? Because God is going to get this prophecy fulfilled. You're not going to stop God. You know, I believe when Jesus went to the cross, Satan thought he won the victory over Jesus. Remember Jesus said, this is your hour, Satan, and the power of darkness. But watch out, Sunday morning's coming. And it did come. Satan got surprised by the resurrection. Satan got surprised when he got the victory by the cross. He didn't see it. You see, Satan is behind Iran, the leaders of Iran. Right. Satan is behind the people in Gaza that did this. Right. Satan just wants to wipe Israel off the map because he knows he can stop the second coming of Christ. That's what he's trying to do. But guess what, Satan? You're not going to stop Jesus Christ. You didn't stop when he came the first time, and you're not going to stop when he came the second time. So if I were you tonight and I weren't on the Lord's side, I'd get on the Lord's side. I'd kiss the Son lest I perish from the way. I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. And I'm just saying, the righteous are as bold as lions, and I'm standing up. I have 3 points to preach to you, and I'm only going to get through 1 point tonight. We're going to keep talking about this, Brother Z. And what's exciting to me now, he said, I've been preaching on it for 10 years. But now, beloved, now you are, I believe, very possibly, and I'm not going to be dogmatic at this point, but it looks like it, very possibly, in the beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy. And it's being played out on the pavement. So, man, use it. And keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on playing your part. And if you've been in sin and getting in with the world by voting for the wrong person, taking the jab, fornicating with unsaved people, be sure your sin will find you out. Get right with Almighty God. And if you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven tonight with a Bible reason, I want to give you that Bible reason. Jesus Christ. He's the door. You get into this building by coming through the door. You don't get into heaven unless you go through the door. Jesus Christ, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Why is Jesus the only one? Because he's the only one to die for our sins, be buried, and rise from the dead. And he never died again. He's alive, and he'll save you through putting your faith in him. He gives you an invitation. He said, listen, all your sins, I'll take them away. I'll take them from you if you'll come to me and put your faith in me. That's a pretty good deal. If I were you, I'd take him up on that tonight. If you're not 100% sure, man, you get that settled, and then you'll be ready for the end times. You'll have nothing to worry about, because just like Israel, and God takes care of Israel, he'll take care of you. Just like Steve Manning said, God took care of him. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you if you're in Jesus' hands. Young people, if you're saved, it's a great opportunity you've got. You don't have to worry about what's up front. Whatever the challenge is, guess what? We're not here to cope with problems by taking drugs, smoking cigarettes, taking pot, or whatever else they take. We are here to conquer through Christ, through the grace of Christ. It's exciting if you're saved. Let's bow.